left off in last year, there was a machlekes of Rishonim when we speak about a ger having to do mila and tefillah. So we pass in that both of ma'akev v'di'evet is different. Tanoim would disagree with that, but the ma'is and the Gemara and Shulchan Aruch, we pass in for sure that both of them are ma'akev. We left off with the question of Rishonim, what if the order is reversed? So usually the Gemara describes doing the mila first. Is that an absolute or is that not necessarily? So there were some Rishonim who claimed that it was an absolute, and within those Rishonim who claimed that it was an absolute, there were different reasons why the Rishonim subscribed to that view. So one of the suggestions was given, we mentioned at the end of the show last week about the Tevel V'Sharetz Biyadai, that somehow we view the Orla as being almost like a Tuma type of a halacha, and that interferes, that prevents the Tevila of Gerus from being Chal. So that's a very, very questionable application of Tovah V'Sharetz Biyado. That may not necessarily meet the regular standards of what's called Tovah V'Sharetz Biyado, but there are Rishonim, the Ritva, there are Rishonim, the Farish, who do invoke such an imagery. There are other Rishonim, such as the Rashba, who agree to the same din, that there is a problem of reversing the order, but for a totally different reason. The Rashba suggests that maybe the reason why the order has to be intact is for a different var, that we spoke a little bit about this last week. Whenever you have a process in halacha, there's really two different components to it. It's a geirus, it has mila and tvila. So it could be that one is the ikur and one is almost like the tofel. One is like the real gemar hadover. What's the real emeser magai of a person? What's the emeser makadish of a person? So the Rashba says he thinks that's really the tvila. Tvila is really the mechanism that creates kedushas Yisrael haraya. Tvila is ultimately what does it for a woman. A woman doesn't have the option of mila. So obviously for a woman, the tefillah does everything. The Rashi quotes the Rishalmi, the famous Rishalmi, about tefillah's kelim. The Rishalmi says that the reason why there's a mitzvah tefillah's kelim is because it's almost like the kelim after the Megayar also. I mean, the idea of tefillah is that's the mechanism of chnisa b'kedushas Yisrael. So what's the pshat in the mila? So mila is also necessary, but in terms of being the machab patish, the tefillah is really the machab patish. That's what the Rashi says. If you're going to do the tefillah first, and then do the mila afterwards. So the reason why that's going to be problematic is not because of Tevel V'Sharetz Biyado. This is not to do with Tumah V'Tahara. This is not a Tevel of Tumah V'Tahara. But that's going to undermine the role of the Tevela. For the Tevela to take effect and not to take effect, to go under the water and not to walk out of the mikveh being Jewish, to walk out of the mikveh and say, I've got to come back next week to get a bris. So the Rashba says that's going to undermine the Tevela itself. That's going to detract from the role of the Tevela as being the Machnis of the Kedushas Yisrael. So at the end of the day, whether you go down the Ritva's Pshat, the Rashba's Pshat, there are going to be Shaitim who do have this idea that the order has to be absolute. Do we have any rayas, one way or the other? The other Rishonim will say the whole thing is not true. Do we have any rayas? So the famous raya is a very, very important sugya in Geirus, we'll talk a little bit more about in weeks to come. But one of the primary raya in the sugya is brought by the Ramban. The Ramban claims that there is a scenario of Geirus, somewhat of a strange scenario of Geirus, that in fact does flip the order. What is that case? So it's a sugya in later on in Masechet Yevamos, we'll call Muberish and his Gaira. You have a woman who's pregnant, a non-Jewish woman who's pregnant, and she wants to convert. So she goes to the mikveh in the middle of the stage of pregnancy. So the Gemara has a chiddush. The Gemara says Muberish and his Gaira, but not in tzarech tevila. That if she went to the mikveh while pregnant, so there's no need for this child to go again to the mikveh. And somehow the child was covered by the tevila of the mother. Muberish and Gemara, in Shulchan Aruch, Muberish and his Gaira, but not in tzarech tevila. So the Gemara is a machlekes. How does that work? What are the mechanics of that? So the Gemara relates this. So the machlek is about whether uba yerechimo, uba lav yerechimo. Do we say that a fetus is considered to be just part of another limb of the mother? So the mother has two arms, two legs, she's got a heart, got two lungs, kidneys, and she's got a baby stuck in there also. So uba yerechimo, if you hold uba yerechimo, so then it makes a lot of sense why the geirus is chal, because the same way when a person goes to the mikveh, your entire body becomes Jewish. So the uba, which is part of the body, becomes Jewish as well. That's if you subscribe to the idea of Uba Yerechimo. If you hold that Uba Lav Yerechimo, so then it's a separate entity. It's not considered to be part of the mother's body. So why does it become Jewish? So the Gemara has a lot of problems with that. So the Gemara says, how does it work? So the Gemara is a new cheshbon. The Gemara says that, it's tantamount to the baby going under the water. Because if you think about it, the baby was toivel. The baby went under the water. The water level's here. The baby's inside the mother's stomach, down here. So the baby went under the water. The only problem, the Gemara says, is that it's a problem of chatzitza. The mother's body separates between the baby and the water. So it was a whole tumult going through the rules of chatzitza. Is it a chatzitza? Not a chatzitza. Finally, the Gemara says, yeah, the taka should be a chatzitza. The Gemara says, no, we're going to solve the problem because it's hainu rivisayu, because this is the normal, natural way of things growing. That's not called a chatzitza. Chatzitza means when you have something which is artificial, something that's not supposed to be here. So let's say, have a bandage on. That's a potential chatzitza. I have a have contact lenses on, that may be a chatzitza. But if I have a baby that's growing inside my body, that's what it's doing what it's supposed to be doing. So that's natural. That's part of, that's not considered to be a chatzitza altogether. So the mother's body doesn't serve as a barrier, doesn't serve as a separation between the water or the mikvah and where the baby is. So the Gemara says, no matter what you hold, whether you hold ubi yerachimah, ubi lav yerachimah, at the end of the day, the tevil of the mother is going to be misyaches to the baby. The Mishnah Berurah quotes this Gemara in Hilchos Tefillin. He talks about if a person has long hair, so whether the hair serves as a chatzitza. Some of the Rishonim say there's a bit of chatzitza by tefillin shorosh, because the Rashi and the Rosh. So the Mishnah Berurah raises the question: if you have long hair, is the long hair considered to be chatzitza now? So the Mishnah Berurah says it depends. If the hair is growing the way it's supposed to be growing in a normal manner, then it's not a devar chatzitza. That's the Gemara in Yevamos. But if the hair is growing from strange places, and the guy brings hair from here, from kind of different hairdos, that the hair doesn't really belong here, he's making a whole tunnel out of it. So then he says that's no longer Hanu Ravisai. Maybe the hair would serve as a chatzitza. So there are different mashkichim, different yeshivas have different ways of reading this Mishnah Berurah. So some mashkichim will pat the boy in the back and say, you gotta get a haircut, because otherwise it's a chatzitza and a chastilin. So they have different ways of understanding at what point you say it's not Ravisai or not. But whatever it is. But that din of Hanu Ravisai was really is a real din in Ilchas Chatzitza. So when all the dust settles, the Gemara says that the Geirus is going to take effect. The tefillah of the mother is going to cover for the baby. We're just not sure, is it based on Uba Yerchimo or whether it's based on Uba Lav Yerchimo. How do we pass in Halacha? So it's a machlokes in Rishonim, whether we pass in Uba Yerchimo or not. 2 days in Tosfos, it was a machlokes in Fort Lee in traffic court a couple of years ago. Somebody got pulled over, husband or wife got pulled over for being in the carpool lane, and she was pregnant, and she tried to explain to the cop that, say, serious story, she tried to explain that she's pregnant, so the baby counts as the third person. So the policeman didn't believe, he wrote her a ticket, so it came to the judge, and the judge paskened against the couple. So the judge must have paskened that Uber Yerachima. It's like if you have three legs, and so you can't count the third leg as another person in the car. So I'm kidding you not, strange things happen. Okay, so we're not sure what the answer to this question is, but Atasha says it doesn't make the slightest bit of difference. Because who cares whether the Geirus works mitam ubi yerachimah, works mitam as an independent tevila? At the end of the day, the baby is going to be converted. It's not going to require tevila. So the Ramban, and then elaborate upon by the Rashi, will say, no. It makes a very, very big difference. Which, why? Because if you hold that ubi yerachimah, if you hold that the baby is part of the mother's body, so then this baby's conversion is over at the time that it goes under the water, because this baby is part of the mother. So the same way that the mother converts totally when she goes under the water, this baby is totally completely Jewish by going under the water. But if you hold that it's Uba Lav Yerachimo, and the baby's tevila is a separate independent tevila, so true, the baby experienced the tevila, but what if this baby is a boy? What if in 6 months from now the baby's born, it turns out to be a boy, so then it's a boy that only had a tevila. So a boy that only had a tevila is not good. We pass in Eno Gerachim over Yitvol. So if you hold Uba Yerachimo, I don't care if it's a boy or a girl, I don't care what it is, it was still covered by the mother. But if you hold that Uba Lav Yerachimo, says the Ramban, says the Rashba, so then if it's a boy, it's going to require a meal L'Shem Geirus. So when's it going to have its meal L'Shem Geirus? When it's born, it's going to have a meal L'Shem Geirus. So we're going to serve the same bagels, and the same lachs, the same moil, maybe a different bracha, but it's going to be, everything's going to be the same, but no tachlin, but it's going to be a meal L'Teres Geirus, says the Ramban. So then the Ramban goes one step further. So the Ramban says, hey, wait a second. He says, if this baby experienced the tevila when it was inside the mother's stomach, and now it experiences a mila 6 months later, isn't that flipping the order? Isn't that going tevila before mila? Isn't that a no-no? So Zemf and Dobadi Sifmir says the Ramban, that's not a no-no. It's a yes, it's okay. There's nothing wrong with flipping the order. So the Ramban brought a raya from a Mudbendika case, from the crazy Mishunadika case, only according to one day in the Gemara. According to the other day, the whole story didn't get off the ground. But according to one day in the Gemara, that Uba Lav Yerachimo, the only way to explain how this child becomes Jewish is to say that the tefillah of the mother works first, and then the milah of the baby, as the milah Shem Geirus works 6 months later, you have tefillah before milah, you see from here that you can flip the order. That was the Ramban's Raya. So the Ra'ah disagrees with the Ramban. The Ra'ah says, no. He says, that's different, because when that baby was in utero, you couldn't have done a milah on him anyway. It was impossible to do a milah on him anyway. So therefore, since it's impossible to do a milah on this baby, so it's dino kene keva. Remember we said, last week we spoke about this, if you have a male, he may be genetically, biologically a male, but he doesn't have the eivor hazachras anymore. So if you have somebody who it's impossible to do a bris milah on him, so he becomes Jewish with tevilah alone. He's like in a keva. we quoted last week that there were some who want, 2 weeks ago, some wanted to say if you have a male who has a hemophiliac, he can't have a bris for medical reasons, so he's like an akeva. So we said that was probably not true. That's most of the problem said that was not a correct comparison. But if you have someone who mamish doesn't have an aver, so he's dinukin akeva. So the Ra'ah says, calls man that he's inside the mother, he's dinukin akeva. It's impossible to do a bris on him. You have to wonder whether that Ra'osva would apply. But as they do all kinds of surgeries in utero. Could be they could pull off a bris in utero also. I don't know. You check with the surgeons. But at least in the days that are, they couldn't figure out a way to do a bris on somebody who's inside the mother's stomach. So the Ra'os said that's considered to be like Dino Kinekeva. So when that baby is born, it's not going to be a Milu Hashem Geiros. It's going to be a Milu Hashem Yisrael. The baby's Geiros is already completed. So we're going to come back to this a little bit later on, hopefully in a couple of weeks from now. We talk about Ger Katan. This is a very real child of a potential Ger Katan. What's the status of this baby when you have a Muvershin? It happens all the time. Muvershin is Geiros. The baby's born. Is that a Milu's Geiros? Is that a Milu's Yisrael? Nafkamina is the Cheshavis. Nafkamina, what brach you make? The real Nafkamina is Ladina. So the Ra'ah says that to deflect the Raya of the Ramban, that Gemara about Muvershin is Geiros, not a Raya, because that baby doesn't need a Milu's Geiros. The baby is Jewish from the moment that he has Tevila. So at the end of the day, it's still an unresolved question that we've shown him. No Raya brew from the Gemara. Whether Tevila can precede Mila or not. Some have the Rishonim say it can, and within the Rishonim will say it can't, for different reasons that are given, either because of Tavu Shaz B'Yadai, or because you need the Tevila to be the Gemar Hadavar. How do we paskin Lahalocha and the Shailas and Shulchan Aruch? It's left as a suffix. We don't know. We know what the din is. So therefore, no responsible evasion is ever going to flip the order. If you're going to Meshuggah at this, which the order, you're going to create a suffix Yisrael. So we would never want to do this. So but if the evidence was done, it's not clear what the din should be. It's a sveik of the dinim. So,
even the people who say that you can't flip it, but they say that the gayrus isn't good with the
absolutely right. They'd say it's no good with the evidence. Right. These are spars de rice. The top shows be other, or the rashma spar, they would say, claim it's mamish no good with the rice. Right. So, Shulchan Aruch is left as a sveik of the dinim. I remember many, many years ago, one of my early years in YU, so I can tell you how long ago it was, that there used to be payphones in the old base medish. Already, quite sometimes they took those payphones out. So I was walking by the payphone rang, picked up the phone, and there was somebody on the other line. He said he has to speak to one of the rabbanim in yeshiva. He said because he's calling from Peru with a very, very serious, that's how shailas be sent in those days, called the payphone. Why you hope someone picks up? So he's calling from Peru with a very serious shaila. There were about 80 gerusim or so that had to be done. There was a whole group of people supposed to come to Eretz Yisrael. And apparently the Rav Nutz sent some people to Peru. There was a whole pickbook on the Jewish land, exactly what the story was. And they had to do 80 gerusim en masse. And I think there was some cholera epidemic or something in Peru. So I don't know what was going on. And they wanted to get everybody out as quick as possible. And if they would have done the Mila first, so then the Gemara says, you have to wait a little bit until you do the Tevila. You have to wait till the person recovers. If you want to do the Tevila first and then the Mila afterwards, I think the Mikvos were infected. Who knows? Kids, whatever it was, they want to do the Tevila before the Mila. So they want to know, Shas at Chak, can they flip the order? That was the Shaila. So I said, I said, there's a Ramban that brings a Rai and a Ra'ah and a Machai. I don't know how much I knew at the time, but I said that I think in Shulchan Aruch it's a Sveik of the Dina. So I said, I don't know whether you want to do that. I mean, not on my conscience. It's not like I'd say 80 people are going to be Jewish based on a Machalikas Harishonim. So maybe we should talk to somebody else about it. So I don't know. Whatever. I'm not sure whatever happened with the people. Everyone went from Peru. So anyway, I'm not sure exactly what happened with them. But those, if you would follow the Din properly in Shulchan Aruch, you would not do such a Geiros. A very, very risky Geiros to do, create 80 Geirim who were not even sure with the Jewish altogether. Okay, anyway, that was just the end of the sugya of the Mila Tevila story. So now we move into the main topic, which is the main topic both in terms of halacha, and unfortunately it's become a main topic in terms of people who have interesting things to say about Geirus, not necessarily correct things, but interesting, sometimes not even so interesting, and that's the next major topic, perhaps the most controversial topic of Geirus, that's the issue of Kabbalah's mitzvahs. So the question becomes, before we can even begin to discuss what is and what is not Kabbalah's mitzvahs, we have to ask a basic question, where did Kabbalah's mitzvahs come from altogether? So the Gemara does talk about it a little bit in Masechet Yevamos, a little bit in Masechet Becheres, and the Shem talk about it, and the Shulchan Aruch talks about it, but the question is, where exactly does it come from? So what I mean, where does it come from, is when we started Hilchos Geiros 2 weeks ago, so we said that all of Hilchos Geiros ultimately emanates from Matan Torah. We said all the Dinim of Geiros start from Mavaseichem Nichnasu LeBris, just as our great-great-grandfathers, our great-great-grandmothers became Jewish by bris milah, by tevilah, by korban, all the different things. So every process is spelled out in very specific detail. And Masechta Krisos Daf Tes, the Gemara asks, menon emira that you need a milah, menon emira that you need tevilah, menon emira that you need a korban. Every single thing the Gemara analyzes, try to bring absolute makom b'deraisa for each of the processes necessary. When it comes to kabbalas mitzvahs, the Gemara said, I was silent. The Gemara never asked that question, but not immediately. How do you know you need kabbalas mitzvahs in order to become Jewish? So some respond, because the answer is obvious, because you don't have to bend over backwards to bring your raya from a pasuk. I said, every nursery kid knows, nasa v'nishma. That's exactly what happened at Kabbalas HaTorah. Kadosh Baruch Hu asked us, do you want the mitzvahs? And we said, yes, nasa v'nishma. So that's obvious. The milah was a tricky one. Milah is a pasuk by Pashas Bo, that kolor liyachabo, which just was a milah's geir. It's a chiddush. Tevila in hazol below tevila. You have to bend over backwards, stand, and you have to figure out what the mukbar is. Korban, you got to read the psukim mishpatim and realize the psukim mishpatim come before Yisro, and you got to read the Rashi. It takes a lot of work. Nasav nishma kolosh adibasha. Nasav nishma. That's obvious. That's what some suggest. So if you take a look at the Rambam in Chizkis Rebbeah and talk about the din of geiros, you don't get that impression from the Rambam. The Rambam quotes you the Makairis for the Mila, Tevila, and the Karbon. When it comes to Kabbalas HaMitzvahs, so the Rambam presents Kabbalas HaMitzvahs in a little bit of a different light. The Rambam describes that when a person wants to become Jewish, and he wants to be Mistoifer of Tachas Kamp Shechina uses, and he wants to become part of Klal Yisrael, and he's Bekabel upon himself the Mitzvahs, so then he becomes a candidate for Geiros. So the Rambam talks about Kabbalas HaMitzvahs before we do anything, before we even negotiate whether we're going to give him a milah, before we negotiate giving him a tefillah, bring a korban. The Rambam describes Kabbalas HaMitzvahs as part of the prerequisite for geiros. That's what many suggest, that the Rambam is telling us the exact opposite of what we just said. I just said before that Kabbalas HaMitzvahs is part of the process of geiros. It's a procedural part of geiros. The milah is a procedure, and the tefillah is a procedure, and the korban is a procedure, and Kabbalas HaMitzvahs is a procedure. The Rambam is not saying that. The Rambam is saying the Kabbalas HaMitzvahs is not a procedure of geiros. It's the very definition of geiros. That's what it means. It means when a person comes and says, I want to be Jewish. So define, what does that mean? What is the halachapedia definition of I want to be Jewish? So I want to be Jewish means I want to march in Israel, they pray. Is that what it means? You don't have to be Jewish to march in Israel, they pray. I want to, you guys don't even know what I'm talking about, Solidarity Day. Before you guys were born, there used to be a thing. Every Jewish person went on the first Sunday in May to stand by the UN to scream to let all the Russian Jews go free. So that's what it means. He wants to part of Solidarity Day. Everyone goes to Solidarity Day. He wants to buy Israeli bonds. Everyone buys Israeli bonds. So what does it mean? He wants to be Jewish. So the answer is, I want to keep Shabbos. I want to keep Kashrus. I want to put on tefillin. I want to keep Taz Mishpach. That's what it means. That's what the words mean. I want to become Jewish. Now, it doesn't mean that if somebody's born Jewish and he ends up not doing mitzvah, so Yisrael, HaPishachot Yisrael, we don't lose Kedushas Yisrael because you don't do mitzvahs. But to become Nicholas in Kedushas Yisrael, you can't even begin to discuss it without being become mitzvahs. Asher Kedushan Mitzvah Yisrael, Shmiras HaMitzvahs is the very definition of what it means to become Jewish. So the way the Rambam is formulating the Din of Kabbalas HaMitzvahs, it's a different obligation than Gamrei. It's a prerequisite. If a guy comes and he goes, a milah, tefillah, korban, brings everything, but he's not interested in doing the mitzvahs, so of course he's not Jewish, because he didn't even get into the batter's box for doing geiros. So there are two different ways of understanding what the role of Kabbalas HaMitzvahs is. Is Kabbalas HaMitzvahs almost part of the procedural aspect of geiros? It's like milah and tefillah, therefore we need a makor, or it doesn't even need a makor because it's just b'chiyagri chamger. That's what the words translated to mean. It means a person wants to become Jewish, i.e. he wants to become upon himself Torah and mitzvahs. So no matter how you slice it, it's a din, whether you hold it's procedural, like Tosfos seems to say, we'll talk about the Tosfos a little bit later on, or whether it's prerequisite like the Rambam, at the end of the day, it exists, and at the end of the day, it's pasha, it's a din, midaraisa, no matter how you slice it, and the lack thereof is ma'akev. So that's what the Rav Moshe writes in Shuvahs, and Rav Chaim Moshe writes, all the Gedolei Olam of the last couple hundred years who asked this question about, is Kabbalas HaMitzvahs absolutely critical? The answer is, of course it's critical. No matter how you slice it, whether it's procedural or prerequisite, of course it's ma'akev, of course it's part of an integral part of Geirim. So one has to be very, very careful when one's makabel Geirim to make sure that the criteria of Kabbalas HaMitzvahs have been met properly. Was there any reason to anyone to even raise a question that maybe Kabbalas HaMitzvahs wasn't ma'akev? So there was a suggestion that was made, but it was the Pasha that Dvarim was not correct. It was based on a comment of the Rambam, which was interpreted in the Sefer Chemda Shlomo. Chemda Shlomo was a correspondent with the Nesivis. He lived at the same time as the Ketzais and Nesivis. He used to write back and forth to the Nesivis. So the Rambam has a lashon in the Din of Hilchos Yisrobiya where the Rambam goes through the what's supposed to be the give and take with the ger. So you have to give a whole speech. When the ger comes, the person wants to convert, so you don't just accept him like that. You have to first try to dissuade him. You tell him it's not so easy to be Jewish. There's a lot of anti-Semitism. Maybe you don't want it. You know, a lot of problems we have. And we have to try to give him a good speech. And then he says, no, I really, really do. I really, really want to. Then you start to explain him a little bit what's called Hodas HaMitzvahs. You don't teach him every list of Katnish Mishnah Berurah. You give him a basic smattering of mitzvahs. You tell him a little bit of Shabbos, a little bit of Kashrus, a little bit of Brachas, Tefillin. You give him a little bit of the ABCs of what it means to be Jewish. The Gemara uses the Lashon Medina, some mitzvahs Kalas, mitzvahs Chamuras. You give him a little bit of some of the more harder things and some of the easier parts. And you try to give him a general picture of what living Jewish is all like. That's what's called an Alach HaHodas HaMitzvahs. So the Rambam writes that if Beis Din forgot to give this whole speech, they forgot to do the Hodas HaMitzvahs, so b'diavad the Geiros is still Chal. So the Shechem Shlomo said, if you look in the Rambam, you look in the Shulchan Aruch, you'll see clearly that they never meant to say that Kabbalah HaMitzvahs is not Ma'akev. They were talking about Hodas HaMitzvahs, namely, the Beis Din didn't do what they were supposed to do. They didn't tell them about what the mitzvahs are. They just jumped into the gun and took him to the mikvah and threw him into the mikvah without telling him what he's getting himself into. But he was still Makabel, like the Nasav Nishma. We had no idea what we're getting ourselves into. We still said Nasav Nishma. So says the Chamdi Shlomo, and all the later Rambam quote the Chamdi Shlomo Halacha, that the Rambam never meant to say that Kabbalah HaMitzvahs is not Ma'akev. The Rambam meant to say Hodas HaMitzvahs is not Ma'akev. The Beis Din made a mistake and didn't spell out what they were supposed to. Well, did he have it? It's not Ma'akev. But if the Ger himself says, I don't want to do mitzvahs, so about that's Ma'akev, either procedural or prerequisite wise. Of course, that's Ma'akev, Midaraisa. So that Chamdi Shlomo, who comments, who explains the Rambam correctly, we shouldn't misunderstand what that Rambam is talking about. But the speech, Tach is not Ma'akev, Lechatchila, but Ma'akev. So I'm generally not involved in the practical Geirus. One time, somebody was hacking me a Chinik in Geirus, I was on the A train. I just got on the A train by YU, and somebody got on at 125th Street, so anyone knows the A train knows that if somebody gets on 125th and sits next to you, you're in big trouble because they're not getting off to 59th Street. So it's an express. Unless it's 2 o'clock in the morning. And you may not want to be in the A train at 2 o'clock in the morning. So the person sits down next to me, it's a woman, and she starts the conversation by telling me that she's in the process of becoming Jewish. Okay? So so she asked me what I was learning at the time. So I happened to be learning Maseches Yevamos. So I really could have told her I'm learning the Din of Geirus, but I didn't really want to get into a discussion about it. I was learning, I forgot about it, some sugars in the end of Yevamos or something, so I fudged a little bit. I had Jewish marriage laws or something, I didn't think she wanted to hear about Zika, I didn't think she was too interested. So, fine. So she says to me that she really, really wants to become Jewish. And she says, so tell me a little bit more about Judaism. You know, so I figured this is my only chance ever to fulfill this din. So I said, no, you don't want to really become Jewish. I remember exactly when it was. It was during the first Gulf War, back in 1990, I think it was. So I said, look what's going on in the world. I said, here, the Iraq invaded Kuwait, and America's fighting against Iraq, the bomb out of Kuwait, and the Jews in Israel are getting missiles thrown at them. I said, it shows that nobody likes us. So the last people you want to be part of is us. I said, I'm not scoring points. This is exactly what the Gemara says you're supposed to say. And then the Gemara says that if the person says, Afal Pichein, then you have to continue. So that's what she said. She says, no, I know it, and I'm still Makabel. That's what she said. She said, I'm Makabel. She said, yeah, I know, and I still want it. She said, this is my destiny to become part of the Jewish people. Okay? So we continued next. I said, Shabbos, you can't go to work. And you can't have McDonald's anymore. But this is really a mamash. I'm on a roll. So the good news was we got to 59th Street. I said to her, I'm sorry, I have to get off. I didn't have to get off. I had to go to 34th Street. But I said, I switched trains. And I got to get off. And as I was leaving, so she said to me, that she's still in the middle of converting, and at the time, said Shlomo Kalbach, Rabbi Shlomo Kalbach is the one who's converting her. I said, okay, so we'll sing together in Jerusalem or something. So whatever it is, but I don't know what happened to her, but I got off the train. So the din is, you have to give this whole speech, but if you don't give the speech, b'diavad, the geiros is still chal. But if you don't have kabbalas and mitzvahs, so then the geiros is mamish not chal, even b'diavad. What exactly is considered to be kabbalas and mitzvahs and what is not?
But if she's in the process of converting, and then that wouldn't that mean you would assume that someone had given her the speech already, and she already said Afal Pichein, and then she already wanted.
This wasn't the halachic discussion. So it was just I was trying to kill some time before the train got to 59th Street. So I figured as good a time as ever. I mean, I wasn't really serving as the Rav Magairo.
But so in the process, are you always supposed to be dissuading the person?
No, until you reach the point that they're really serious. The Gemara says if they're really serious, then you have to stop dissuading them. So you have to try to separate the men from the boys. That's what the Gemara quotes from Megillas Rus. But Techta Ladaber, that the whole dinim of trying to dissuade a person, I learned out from Naomi and Rus. And Naomi says Rus, she says that you don't want to be Jewish, and she says Ba'asher Tamusi Amus Meshama Kaver. So Naomi starts telling her there are Dalabis with Beis Din. She says I don't care, and you can be buried somewhere. I don't care. And you can't go out at Chum Shabbos. I don't care. Everything she says, I'm a kabbal. So then it says, "Vatechnal adabarela." So she stopped talking to her. So the Gemara Nevamah stands out from that phrase, "Vatechnal adabarela." That if the ger is really serious, you have to stop. You don't want them to think Judaism is miserable. You want to just make him realize that it's a serious commitment. But if they're really genuine, then you have to stop. You're supposed to stop. Try to this. So responsible kabbal ger has to decide at what point they reach that shiur.
Then there's someone else if a person hears someone's converting, someone else.
No, you're not mechuyav to go run around to all the prospective converts and tell them that. No. I was not standing on train looking for people to dissuade from becoming Jewish. The Gemara has quotes a din in not in Masechet Yevamos. 99% of Geirus is in Masechet Yevamos. There's a small sugi Masechet Bechoros in all places about Geirus, and there's one small Gemara maybe critical to the whole story of Kabbalas HaMitzvos. The Gemara says, what's the din if a person is Mekabel Mitzvos Chutz Midover Echad? What if he starts to make conditions, make stipulations with you? I'm Mekabel Mitzvos, but not everything. Not Mekabel every last prat. So the Gemara says, I'm Mekabel Mitzvos. Geirus starts making conditions that he doesn't want to accept everything, so you're not Mekabel him. So what exactly does that mean, the Ein Mekabel Mitzvos? That's a big tumult in the Acharonim. Does the Gemara mean that that's the shear of Kabbalas HaMitzvahs? That what the Gemara is telling is the Chiddush. I would have thought, if I just would have learned Yevamos, so I would have thought Kabbalas HaMitzvahs means that you give a basic general Kabbalas HaMitzvahs. The guy says, yeah, I'll keep Kasher, Shabbos, I'll keep the biggies. And he starts to make conditions here and there. All right, he's 95% of the commitment, that's also good enough. So comes the Gemara Mecharis and says, no, that's not called a commitment. It means the sheer of Kabbalas HaMitzvahs is 100%. Anytime the prospective Geir starts to make conditions, so that's a chisaron, there's something lacking, something deficient in the Kabbalas HaMitzvahs. And if that's Pshan the Gemara, so then we're assuming right now that Kabbalas HaMitzvahs is Ma'akabi Di'evit, that's the Pashas and all the Poskim. So then this din of Chutz Midover Echad would be Ma'akabi Di'evit as well. So if you put two and two together, if you hold that din of Bechoros is the din of Kabbalas HaMitzvahs, so then Chutz Midover Echad would Ma'amash be an eco with the Geirus. Maybe no, some Achron in the Sefer Beis Yitzchok writes, not the YU publication, Beis Yitzchok writes that maybe Chutz Midover Echad is a different Vort Lagami. Maybe Chutz Midover Echad is just a din lechatchila on the Beis Din. It means Beis Din shouldn't get involved with the guy who's starting to make concepts, starting to make games, play games with us. It means it's not really chesaron in Kabbalas HaMitzvahs. Kabbalas HaMitzvahs doesn't mean entire Kabbalas HaMitzvahs. It means a pretty sincere Kabbalas HaMitzvahs. He's ready to do just about everything. But if he is one hang-up that he has, so that it still passes Kabbalas HaMitzvahs. Just that the Gemara is saying that you as a Beis Din, it's just a bad idea. Don't be mekabel the person, because you're going to mekabel the person. So you're going to end up creating a person who's not going to put on film. He says, Chutz Midover Echad, I'm not going to put on film. He says, I'm going to wish on this. So if he starts making conditions, so it's just bad protocol to be mekabel such a person. But with the Evid, the Geirus may still be good. So it's unclear exactly what the Din of Chutz Midover Echad is all about. So the Rechim Am should equal not. So many poskim assume the Chumrah version of that Gemara, the Chutz Midover Echad is mamash a condition in the Geirus, even with the Evid. If a person starts to stipulate Chutz Midover Echad, that's going to invalidate the entire Geirus, even with the Evid. So we have to figure out, assuming that's true, so now let's try to understand exactly what that means, just how far does the Din Chutz Midover Echad go. So Reb Chaim Oizer has a Chiddush Gadol, which not everybody agrees to at all. Reb Chaim Oizer is a Chiddush Gadol within the sugya of Chutz Midover Echad. Even if you assume the Chumrah version, he's assuming the Chumrah version that it could mamash disqualify the Geirus, but he says, what do the words mean, Chutz Midover Echad? So the Geir comes, he's about to convert, and he says, listen, he says, I'm a kabbal to do all the mitzvahs. I mean, I know that being Jewish means 613 mitzvahs. I know that. And I really accept upon myself to do all those mitzvahs, but Rabbi, I'm telling you straight that I have a big taiva for cheeseburgers. And the kosher cheeseburgers aren't going to make they're not good enough. I'm going to have to eat the treifa cheeseburger. Or let's say not something not as flagrant as that. I don't know. He baked him a couple, everything. But he says, he's got some tremendous taiva. He's got to be sach b'shem r'mishcha. He said he just can't control himself. So he says, and every once in a while, he got to do the sach b'shem r'mishcha. He says, listen, I'm not saying I'm not going to be chayv kares. I understand. I'm going to be chayv kares for it. And I understand it's a terrible thing. But this is my hang-up. That's what I do. So Rav Chaim Eisa says, if a person formulates it like that, that it's b'taras te'avon, so then that's not called a lack of Kabbalah. What does a lack of Kabbalah mean? What does chutzud avrecha mean, says Rav Chaim Eisa? A guy comes and says, listen, I want to negotiate. Let's make a deal. So he said, I want to be Jewish, but I only want to be Jewish for 608 mitzvahs. The other five are a little bit too difficult for me, so I want to have the Jewish religion that I can be Sach B'Shem Mishcha, I can be Mefatim Masechet Torahs. What else do I need? I don't know, give me a couple of other odds and ends, I don't know, whatever. A few other resume here and there. I'm basically going to be Jewish, I'm going to put on tefillin, I'm going to keep kosher, keep Shah, I'm going to keep everything, but I want to be a 608 out of 630. The other five mitzvahs don't speak to me. I don't want to be Chayef Kares. I don't want to be a Kermit Chattas. I don't want anyone to scream at me for being Sach B'Shem Mishcha because it's not part of my religion. I'm Jewish minus those things. So Chaim Moses says that's what Chutz V'Davar Echad means. Chutz V'Davar Echad means you can't create a half-baked Judaism. Judaism is all or nothing. Whether or not you're going to personally do it, if you have personal taivas, you end up, a Nebuch, violating of Ezra, a very honest guy. You come forward and say, listen, I'm going to violate Yisurim. I know I'm going to violate Yisurim. So Reb Chaim Moses says, okay, that's not called Chutz V'Davar Echad. Chutz V'Davar Echad means chutz, like a Lashon Shir, it's like a Shir in the Kinyan. It's like Magarish and Isha chutz me plenty. It means you want to be Meshire in the Geirus. So that's what chutz B'Davar Echad means. It's like a Litvisher version of a chutz B'Davar Echad. That's what Reb Chaim Moses suggests. So then Reb Chaim Moses turns around and says, well, wait a second, if you say that, then you could take that to absurdity. So a guy comes and says like this, I really, really want to be Jewish. I'm a Kabbal. I'm going to be bound by all 613 mitzvahs. But I have a few Yetzaras. Let me spell out to you what my Yetzaras are. I have to work on Shabbos because I got to make money. So that's one Yetzara. I got another Yetzara. I have to eat tripe because I just don't like the kosher food. It doesn't taste as good. I'm not going to keep Tassim Mishpacha. So I'm a Makabu all them. I'm going to be Chayef Kares for every time I get into my car on Shabbos. I'm going to be Chayef Kares every time. And I'm going to be Chayef Malkos each both. I'm a Maskim. I'm going to be a Rush. I'm going to be the biggest Ger Mumer around. But, just take me along. But I'm a Makabu everything. But I have big Yetzaras. I have, how many Yetzaras do I have? Approximately 613. So I'm going to violate everything with Teyavin. So Reb Chaim Moshe says, so Abba Zoy, if you follow what I just said, so then at what point do you say that it's mamash farce? At what point do you say it's mamash leitzanos? That you could take Latei Oven, how far does Latei Oven go? So Reb Chaim Moshe stops. And in the next paragraph he says, if a guy comes and he says that I want to be Jewish, and I'm a Kabbal in theory all the mitzvahs, but a few things here and there I can't do Latei Oven, and listen to what the few things are. Shabbos, Kashrut, Stas Mishpacha, Reb Chaim Moshe is mamash leitzanos. That's a farce. That's a joke. My high. Me some who put on the pedestal these three things? And the answer is, yeah, that's the way it is. We all know. What ultimately makes up, if you have to think of the big three things that ultimately are the demarcation between an observant Torah life and a non-observant Torah life. And that's the answer. The answer is, if you keep Shabbos, if you keep kosher, your wife goes to the mikveh, that's pretty much what defines living I'm afraid to use the word orthodox these days, but orthoprax, whatever it is. That defines the actions of a Shomer Torah mitzvahs. The guy could be a koifa batoyer, a koifa bika, a koifa and everything under the sun, but in terms of, I'm not advocating that, but in terms of the shmiras ha'maisim, those are pretty much it. In the case, you have other things also, okay, I put some fill in here and there, okay, good. The guy done some Lashon Hara, okay, there are a lot of other things that go with being a Shomer Torah mitzvahs, but this is what ultimately makes or breaks. This defines who being a Shomer Torah mitzvahs. So Chaim Moshe says that you could pull the strings of the Teyavim, you could put our heartstrings of the Teyavim just so far. It means a little bit here and there. You have a tremendous taiva for Sach B'Shem Mishcha, and that we can tolerate. But once your taiva start to undermine the basic definition of what it means to act as a Jew, so then that's not called Chutz B'Davar Echad anymore. That's called Ois Kabbalas Mitzvahs. That's not even the Kabbalas Mitzvahs Bechlal. So Reb Chaim Moshe doesn't spell this whole thing out, but if you look at his tshuva, that seems to be the direction that he seems to be suggesting. But this is a big chiddush. The whole Reb Chaim Moshe, the fact that he had to redefine almost what Kabbalas Mitzvahs is was only because he was willing to take that very kulodic version of Chutz B'Davar Echad. He was willing to say that Chutz B'Davar Echad means that only when it's a shir in the Kabbalah, but if it's just Derech Taiva, Derech Yitzhara, so maybe that does in itself undermine it. If you deny that, if you hold like others, like Rav Moshe and others who said, oh, Chutz B'Davar Echad, there are no excuses for Chutz B'Davar Echad. Chutz B'Davar Echad means, if you come forward straightforward and you say, listen, I'm not doing mitzvah A, B, and C because I have a taiva not to do it. I don't care what the reason is. That's called Chutz B'Davar Echad. So if you don't accept Reb Chaim Moshe's kula, then you have to start to redefine Geiris. But if you go down the other route of other parts like Reb Moshe and others, so then everything is a Chutz B'Davar Echad. If the Geir comes forward, Pemol, and he says, listen, I want to be Jewish, but I have the following Yetzirah to do X, Y, and Z. That's very nice. And we find a different religion. We're not going to accept you. And even with the evidence we accept you may not even be good, because maybe that's called a chisaron in the Kabbalah.
Let's say they say they're going to do it. They're not going to do it with jail. They're going to keep you safe, but you don't feel that they're going to lie or that the situation they're going
Okay. So we haven't got there. So we're going to get to that in a second. So up until now, we're talking about everyone's up front. Everyone's talking straight. Everyone's is an honest relationship between the Makabal Gerim and the prospective Gioris. And we have to assess based on what they're telling us, and we're assuming that everybody's telling the truth. But now it starts to become very complicated when people start to say one thing, and we start to think that there are other things going on in there behind closed doors, in their mind. So I had a question.
What would be worse for Chaim Moses? Somebody says, I have a taiva for Chametz and Pesach, or I have a taiva for Derabanan and Bas Bechala. So that's
I don't know. It's a very vague, very category of Chaim Moses. So again, he doesn't spell out the social authority that I just said, but he does. He has the chiddush of Lutei Avon, and then he says, but the ger who says he's not Kamakabu Shabbos Lutei Avon, not Kamakabu Shabbos Lutei Avon, that's not Gerus Bechlal. So that's some what he means, that when things are so blatant, not Judaism, so then it becomes no longer just a detail of the Berech, then it becomes an undermining of the very essence of the Gerus.
Is there a consensus which do we hold like for kind of like your emotion?
It's not going to make that much. I mean, the differences are going to be very, very minute. We're very, very small differences. It's one line in Chaim Moses, the whole thing. The guy says, listen, my wife's not going to the mikveh, finished. I'm not keeping Taras Mishpacha. So he says, how can you say you're going to be Jewish and not keep Taras Mishpacha? It's a steer to being Jewish.
We're not talking about Angini Derabba. We're not talking about all. We're just talking about the main.
I don't know. I'm not sure. So now, we're going into where the conversation starts to become a little bit trickier. When we're talking to this prospective Ger Gioris, and they're telling us something, but we have reason to believe that they're not telling us the whole story. So what would the din be in the following case? Let's say a person comes to us to convert and start to go through all the discussions. And we say, there's this thing called Shabbos out there. It's very, very hard. And they say, no, I'm a Kaba B'Lev Shalom. Every Sivkot in the Mishnah Berurah, everything in the new Mishnah Berurah, everything you name, every Chumrah, we're going to keep everything. Then Kasher is every Sivkot on everything. Every Taz Mishpacha, every Chumrah, and everybody, Ashur, everything. Mamash Kabbalah, everything, right? We're looking at this person and we're mamash laughing. Why are we laughing? Because we know who we're dealing with. We know exactly why he's converting. He's converting because he's going out with a Jewish girl. So maybe we shouldn't be converting him altogether. That's a Geirus Hashem Isha, a whole other story. But for whatever reason, we're doing that. We're converting him. And why is he converting? He's going out with a Jewish girl. The Jewish girl couldn't care less whether he's Jewish or a guy. The parents couldn't care less whether he's Jewish or a guy. But there's a great-great-grandmother out there who says she's going to die of a heart attack unless the great-great-granddaughter marries a Jew. So, sure. So that's what's going to happen. So that's the reason why he's converting. So meanwhile, the guy's swearing up and down on the Bible that he's going to keep every Shabbos kash tas mishpacha. He's going to keep Shabbos. He said, his fiance, his Colin, whatever you want to call her, doesn't keep Shabbos. The in-laws don't keep it. The grandmother doesn't keep it. The great-great-grandmother's dying from the heart attack. Like, nobody keeps Shabbos in the family. Kashrus. He swears up and down he's going to keep kosher. Keep kosher. So where's he going to eat kosher? He said, nobody has kosher food. They're going to live in the middle of Wyoming. There's no kosher food around. So where? Taras HaMishpacha. I mean, Beinenu. The couples, they're living together now. So they can always keep Taras HaMishpacha. So the whole thing is mamash a big joke. The mamash mitchilav yatsoif is the big joke. So the couple is swearing up and down, the prospective gear is swearing up and down, he's going to keep all the mitzvahs. So what's the din? Is that called the Kabbalah's mitzvahs or not? So Reb Moshe has a tshuva where he raises the following question. Maybe we can apply the principle here, what's called Dvarim Shebelev Einim Dvarim. There's a Gemara, Maseches Kedushin. And the Gemara tells a story about a fellow who sold all his fields, sold all his property, because he was planning on going to Eretz Yisrael. He didn't tell us that. He didn't write that into the document, but he just sold his house, sold his field, and he was planning on going, and then he canceled the next Nefesh flight. He didn't go, and at the end of the day, he never made Aliyah. And now he wants to come back 6 months later and claim that as a Mekach Tos, I only sold the field on the condition that I'm going to Eretz Yisrael. So the Lekeach says, well, you didn't tell me that. If you would have made it tonight, but you didn't tell us that. So Gemara says, Dvarim Shebelev Einim Dvarim. Since he didn't tell us beforehand, so whatever he says, we can only go based on what he said, what he was thinking, even though we're not questioning, we're not calling him a liar. We believe what he's saying, but tachlis, the halacha is that when you make a kiddush, you try to make a chalai, so we can only follow what the dvarim shebe'ar, not what the dvarim shebe'alev are. So dvarim shebe'alev ain't him dvarim. So Ramesha raises the question, maybe we can apply dvarim shebe'alev here also, that the person saying that the makabah mitzvahs, there's something in the heart, because you know it's in the heart. So Ramesha says, no, that's ridiculous. Ramesha says that if you learn a little more about sugya of dvarim shebe'alev, you'll come to the realization when that's not true. The Gemara has it in Baba Basra, in the 8th parak, and the 9th parak, the Gemara has a sugya about what's called umdana. We coined the phrase "dvarim shebe'alev of leiv kol adam." What if you have something where a person is not telling us what's in his heart, but he doesn't even have to bother telling us what's in his heart? We know we know exactly what's in his heart. Why do we know? It's clear from the context, from the way the description of the story is. It's obvious from context what the person's thinking. In the case of the guy who sells his field, a guy sells the field. A guy sells the house all the time, not because he's going to sell necessarily. So just because you see a guy selling a house, it doesn't automatically mean he's on the next plane from Aliyah. But sometimes a guy made a chalos, and it's obvious that there was a certain piece of information that was inside his heart. So I'm going to give an example. Let's say a guy's on his deathbed, and he gives away all his property to somebody else because he didn't think he had a child. And then all of a sudden, after the death, somebody comes and tells him that, don't tell him, they come and tell us that he really did have, he had a child, he didn't know about it. That his wife gave birth to him, didn't say, The Gemara says, what was sugar? Would have to give away every last penny if he knew that he had a child. He would have to give away all his money to somebody else. So that's like a dvarim shebe'alev kol adam. So even though he didn't spell it out, pemole, that he's only making the matana al das, that he doesn't have a child, it's built into the system. It's understood that way. So the Gemara says, feirish, that when you have such as that umdana de muchach, where any normal person would look at the facts and see that this is what the person really thinks, and then we ignore what he says, and we follow what his real deep rotzon is actually all about. So the Moshe writes, anybody who would be half honest and objective and look at this case, you see the boy going out with a Jewish girl, and the Jewish girl is not going to keep Shabbos, not going to keep Kash, she's not going to keep anything. So why in a million years would anybody think that the non-Jewish partner is going to become from? It's not Shaykh. So obviously the guy's bluffing, not the guy's telling us a Baba Maitza. So Moshe says, when it's so clear as day from context, the person's telling us a Baba Maitza, that we can no longer hide behind Dvarim Shebe'alev anymore. That's called Dvarim Shebe'alev Kol Adam. And therefore, that would disqualify the Geirus. That would be like a Geirus without Kabbalah Mitzvahs. So Moshe writes that a Geirus without Kabbalah Mitzvahs is not a Geirus Bechlal. So that's like a Geirus coming and telling us, I don't want to keep kashrus, I don't want to keep Shabbos, I don't want to keep anything. So the Geirus is Batel Mevatel. So even though he's telling us that he wants to, but we know for a fact that he's not telling us the truth. So then, Moshe goes on, a different Shuva, and he says that, even though I just disqualified the principle of Dvarim Shebe'alev as a mitigating factor in Geirus, but that's only because it was Dvarim Shebe'alev Kol Adam. What if it's Mamash Dvarim Shebe'alev? What if it really truly meets the criteria of Dvarim Shebe'alev? So Moshe says if it really truly does meet the rules of Dvarim Shebe'alev, then we can sometimes invoke that principle of Dvarim Shebe'alev Enim Dvarim. What would be an example of that? So Moshe gives another real life case. There was a woman who converted right before Shavuos. She was really serious. She was a genuine convert. She converted. She was very serious. And Kabbalah was Ger. And then a few years later, So she got very, very upset, and she explained to her rabbi, and eventually shot it into Ramosha, that she felt that she wasn't up front at the time when she was Megayer. There was a piece of information she was withholding from the basement. What was the piece of information? That it was right before Shavuos, and she had a job that she knew she had to go into work that year. She knew she wasn't going to be able to take off from work from Yom Tov that year. So she was planning at the time she's going to go into work, and she's going to try to finagle as best as she can not to do too many malachas, but she knew that she's probably going to have to do certain things, yes, sir. But she really, really wanted to be Jewish before Shavuos. She got to get that cheesecake in the head there. She wanted to make sure she's Jewish before Kabbalah Soterah. What she should have done is told us straightforward. We said, great, so I'm going to work on Shavuos, and then we'll convert you the day after Shavuos. But she, for whatever reason, didn't do that. But she knew, the Lev Shalom, at the time when she was going to convert, she knew that she was planning on working on Shavuos that year. Then apparently, years later, she heard something about the din of Chutz B'Davar Echad, so she started to shake. She thought she wasn't Jewish. And she was mad. She had kids. She said, who knows, Kabbal? Maybe my Geirus was a Chutz B'Davar Echad, because at the time that I converted, so I wasn't up front. I was in effect doing a chutz b'davar echad, I wasn't makabel by myself the mitzvah of not the malacha and shavuos. That was the shayla that presented to Ramosha. So Ramosha said to her, she shouldn't feel bad, because she's 100% Jewish, Ramosha said, because this is a classic example of dvarim shebe'alev enim dvarim. That is not a question we don't believe you, it's not a question of belief, whether you're telling Jew or not. Apidin doesn't register. You told us that you're makabel all the mitzvahs, and you were honest, you were genuine. We really believed you. And rightfully so. You weren't going there with a Jewish guy. You didn't have any other agenda. You were really, truly, you were makabel. You were very, very, very fruitful. You had this quirk of this Yetzirah that you had to deal with. According to Rav Chaim Moizer, it wouldn't have been a problem anyway, because that would be a classic, not a problem, chutz b'davarecha, because it was mamash, a one-time thing, as a one quirk yetzer to make a few dollars in Shavuos, not to lose your job. So that would have been a one-time thing of not a chutz b'davarecha. But Rav Moshe disagreed with Rav Chaim Moizer. Rav Moshe held that chutz b'davarecha would be a problem, even if it's only l'teyavon. Rav Moshe Paskin, in this case, this is not called the chutz b'davarechad, because here it wasn't dvarim shevelib levelib kolam harayah. Nobody knew about it 6 years later, so nobody suspected such a silly thing. So that would be a classic dvarim shevelib and dvarim, so we can salvage the gerus. So it's interesting. Rav Chaim Moizer predated Rav Moshe, but he didn't like that svar, because Rav Chaim Moizer writes that he thinks that dvarim shevelib in dvarim doesn't apply to gerus bechlal, because all of Kabbalah Mitzvah is Balev. Dvarim Shablev and Dvarim means when you go through a mechanism of a kinyan, so I sign a shtar, so then you say Dvarim Shablev and Dvarim. Makadashinisha, Dvarim Shablev and Dvarim. But the whole Chalos of Gerus is a Kabbalah Shablev. So how can you turn around and say Dvarim Shablev and Dvarim? So Rav Moshe accepted the principle of Dvarim Shablev and Dvarim by Gerus. He just insisted that it only be done in a case where it's not Dvarim Shablev and Kaladim. Rav Chaim Moizer undermined the entire principle by Gerus, but Rav Chaim Moizer would have been makshed as Gerus anyway, because he would have held it's not a Chos of Avarecha. So at the end of the day, she's Jewish the whole day. She's Jewish according to Rav Moshe's standards, and she's Jewish according to Rav Chaim Moizer's standards for totally different reasons. According to Rav Moshe, she's Jewish because it's Dvarim Shalom Bevin and Dvarim. According to Rav Chaim Moizer, she's Jewish because it's not called Chos of Avarecha, because it's only Derech Teyavon. So the woman's Jewish according to both Gedolei Hador. She's Jewish, but for different lamdases. But the bottom line is, you see, for Rav Moshe, a very, very important cloud, according to Rav Moshe's standards, so Rav Moshe is saying that if and when we're going to invoke a principle of Dvarim Shebelev to be Ma'asher Geiros, it's got to be honest, it's got to be really, really objectively true. If we're just playing games with ourselves and saying that, oh yeah, the person, well, he said he's going to keep Shabbat. Come on, think a little smarter than that. So that's going to throw into question, even with the Evid, that's going to disqualify the entire Geiros. So again, so the starting point of the Sugya is Kabbalah Geiros is absolutely critical. Chodos HaMitzvahs is not as critical. Chodos HaMitzvahs is absolutely mamash ma'akev b'di'evid, either b'teres procedure or b'teres prerequisite what the essence of Geirus is all about. There is a cloud called Chutz V'Davarechad. Whether Chutz V'Davarechad is mamash and ikov also is a little bit unclear. Whether Chutz V'Davarechad includes Averis Derech Te'avon is also unclear. But even if it includes Averis Derech Te'avon, you have to start to differentiate within degrees of just how far that goes. Otherwise, you end up with the absurdity of a person being makabel basically nothing. And then, even within the sugyas of lack of kabbalah mitzvahs, so you have to be down in the nekuda of dvarim shebelev. So if you go down Rav Moshe's route, that we're willing to accept the idea of dvarim shebelev and dvarim sometimes by geirus, but it has to be measured very, very carefully, just to make sure that it's not crossing the threshold, crossing the line of dvarim shebelev kolam.
Aren't there
mitzvahs
that say that if it's echa b'tavach b'leiv, and you do find dvarim shebelev, dvarim shebelev have dvarim?
Yeah, she's saying
that she's in the Kabbalah mitzvahs, but she knows she's not going to be Kabbalah at that point. That's a theory. It doesn't have to be an under the mocha per se that we know that she's not in the Kabbalah mitzvahs, that even within herself, we find out later that it was Echabalim.
It's always like that. Every Dvarim Shebelev is that. We
but
trust.
She says no. She says that they are stuff. Not
us. She says to us. But she says to us that's Belev. It's not Belev anymore, that's Bepe.
No, but she's lying to us. Not every Dvarim Shebelev, you're not stipulating everything that you're thinking. Here she's stipulating something opposite of what she's thinking. So then you would, why somebody should have things say they would apply Dvarim.
I don't know. I'm not sure.
How does Hillel, who seemingly, he converted them pretty quickly, even though one of the non-Jews said, I only want to do it so I can wear the Kohen Gadol,
right.
And he just seemed to just
right. So Tosfos talks about that. Right. So we didn't talk yet about issues of on the one hand, the Gemara says you have to give a whole speech, a whole presentation to dissuade them, and then you're right. The Gemara seems to have these stories of Hillel who's mekabel them on different without these grandiose dissuasions. So we talk a little bit more about what are some of the limitations of who we're not supposed to be mekabel. We'll have to come back to that a little bit more. Okay, good. But sometimes you have a situation, you have to be careful when you're mekabel a ger. So even if the person's very, very honest, so you have to read in between the lines of what they're saying. So if you just ask them questions, are you mekabel Shabbos? Yeah, mekabel kashas? Yeah, great. But you have to hear them out. It's like a good doctor. You have to listen. So what else do they do? What does their lifestyle entail that may be a violation of mitzvahs? So one important question to ask them is, what do they do for a parnasa? So there are certain parnasas that are out of bounds in terms of being frum. It's not shayach. How are they possibly going to be frum? So they may be telling you from a couple of Shabbos and kashas. They don't even understand that certain parnasas involve things that are gross violations of Yisurim. So just very recently, it was two different shailas that came up, which if you just listen to what the person's saying, there's a big problem. So there was a shaila that was just told to me recently about, there was a woman who wanted to convert. Apparently she was fairly sincere in what she was doing. But one small quirk, she was an opera singer by profession, and she wanted to continue to be an opera singer after she converted. So that's a big problem. So how can you be an opera singer and sing publicly in front of men? So that's, she didn't want to, she didn't say she's going to stop being a professional opera singer, now she's only going to sing at the Beis Yaakov convention. She wants to continue to sing on stage. So that's a serious problem. So you want to, you can convert somebody who's telling you pemole, they're going to violate basic principles in terms of chastanias. That's a red flag in terms of Kabbalah and mitzvahs.
According to Reb Chaim Ozer, why wouldn't that be good?
According to Reb Chaim Ozer, means it would just be the Teyovim.
Yeah,
right. So according to Reb Chaim Ozer, well, the question is, are we supposed to do it? Not saying that we're supposed to do it. So even Reb Chaim Ozer would agree that we're not supposed to be mekabel them. It's just that it, yeah. B'di'evan maybe would be good. Right. But according to Reb Moshe, this is Mamash, the whole gay would be possible B'di'evan. Well, let's say somebody told me also a Shaila about the person wanting to convert, and they told us that they were a veterinarian. So being a veterinarian, unless you're working on a farm somewhere and taking care of cows, so a veterinarian in the city world means that you're doing all kind of yisurim of siris and behemoths. So that's part and parcel of the regular parnasa. So if you say to the person, okay, you can only be a vet, but you can't do siris, you won't be able to make a parnasa veterinarian. So that's a serious problem. So those are yisurim deraisa. So those are not the most popular chutzpah d'avrechad that you would think, but that's also chutzpah d'avrechad. So you have to be careful. We have to listen and hear out the person, even if they are serious, to make sure that there's nothing in between the lines here that we're missing in terms of what's going to potentially be a violation of d'avrechad, other yisurim, whatever the case may be. So again, so the basic din of kabbalah mitzvah stands. How you define all these basic nuances of kabbalah mitzvah becomes each one the question of itself. Okay, what's your next one?